So if you're just joining us, this is listener-supported public radio for the Central Kenai Peninsula, KDLL 91.9 FM, KenaiSoul.net. We're talking to Christy Terry. She's the mayor of Seward and the Seward Port Manager for the Alaska Railroad. We have Jason Bickling, Executive Director for the Seward Chamber of Commerce, and Stephanie Mullane, who owns Sunny Cove Kayaking in Seward. So, Stephanie, you mentioned that you have worked for Sunny Cove for a while. How did you get started, and kind of what brought you to Alaska and into this, the kind of tourism business in the first place?
I'll try to make it a shorter story. I started working in tourism pretty much straight out of high school, and I stumbled into Alaska in 1998, into a bike guiding job in Southeast Alaska. But I spent a few years in Southeast Alaska doing some different types of guiding, and then went home to Wisconsin for a summer and quickly realized that I could not live in Wisconsin in the summer anymore. And started looking for work in Alaska again and stumbled upon Sunny Cove, interviewed with the previous owner for several hours. Honestly, it was quite an interview, and ended up coming up as just a guide and a day trips coordinator. And I knew really quickly that I was going to live in Seward full time at some point. It just took me about 14 years to do it. So I worked seasonally between Sunny Cove and a ski resort in Utah for 14 years before transitioning to full time up here in 2014. But I also knew that I wanted to buy Sunny Cove pretty early on, and mentioned to the owner, if you ever decide to sell the company, I would love to talk to you about it. And so we made it happen, and here I am.
Has it been a steep learning curve learning how to run a business? What have been kind of the biggest, you know, things you've had to learn since kind of moving into that role?
You know, the previous owner, John Page, always gave me a lot of latitude to learn new things about the business. And I had a strong interest in learning about the business. And what I didn't know when I first came in is that I was a closet entrepreneur. And I just needed somebody to help me get out of the closet. And so I have since kind of become a serial entrepreneur, and I can't stop my ideas anymore. I have notebooks full of them. But once I figured out I had an interest in learning about business, I became really active in learning about business, and I still actively find ways to educate myself. Luckily, one of the programs I was able to participate in right after I bought Sunny Cove Kayaking was the Goldman Sachs 10,000 Small Businesses National Cohort, which they label it an MBA in 4 months, basically, and they really put a lot into your head. And I'm also part of the National Organization of Women Business Owners, or Association of Women Business Owners, and actively educate myself through some of their programs too. There can be a steep learning curve, but if you are super interested in business, there are tons of resources out there to help you learn how to do it. And there are Seward's a great community. There's a lot of business owners that are completely willing to be transparent and help you understand how to move forward.
Yeah, do you do a lot of kind of collaboration or any sort of partnership with other businesses? Like I'm imagining, you know, working with a lodge or restaurants who may be able to kind of do some referrals, or is that something that you guys in Seward, are there kind of a lot of partnerships and associations in that way?
You know, yes, I work with quite a few agencies who, you know, they're part of my bigger network of people who sell trips for me. And then I do have some, you know, kind of under the, I shouldn't say under the table, but kind of quiet partnerships with people here in Seward.
Cats out of the bag.
Yeah, right. If my trips are full, I'm going to call another kayaking company and help people get on a trip, you know, and that's just kind of that reciprocal, helping out within each other. But I do, you know, one of the local partnerships that we started this year was with the Seward Brewing Company, and we started a tour that involved kayaking and beer in that order. and so
very important to specify that the order is kayaking and then beer.
Exactly. But we'll go out for the day kayaking. And then we have two guides who actually have a podcast called The Last Frontier Podcast. And part of the podcast is beer tasting, Alaskan beers. And so you'll get to go to the brewing company with one of those two guides and get a fleet of, a flight of beer and then a couple of appetizers to cap your tour off.
That sounds really fun. Making a whole day out of it.
Yeah, exactly.
So it sounds like you kind of came to Seward, fell in love with it, and kind of ended up moving here. I mean, it seems kind of like a way a lot of people end up kind of arriving on the peninsula, and the people just fall in love. You come here, and it's hard to imagine living anywhere else. Do you find that a lot of folks who kind of end up moving to the area were once tourists or seasonal workers, or the people who seem to be moving to Seward, who do they seem to be? What's kind of their story? Is it mostly people who visited once or twice before and just can't stop thinking about it and want to move back?
Everybody I know who lives here only came here for one summer.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, I have quite a few staff members. This winter was a little unique in that, for especially in the guiding world, there were fewer jobs. But I have four staff members who stayed last winter and actually lived on some of the buildings on my property. And now they're all having experienced a Seward winter. They're having a hard time with the idea of potentially leaving in the future.
Wow. So I mean, what do you do in the winter? What does kind of your winter look like? Is it a lot of planning for the next summer? Do you do any other sorts of guides or trips?
No, we are closed in the winter time. I become a one-woman business for most of the year, and then bring on 18 more people in the spring. And so I'm very actively organizing my business. I'm a person who's always looking for a way to do things better. And then I like to be really active in the community. And I do a lot of, I work with a lot of organizations in the community, and that helps me stay busy and connected. And that's what I like to do. So, yeah.
I'm wondering if, and we talked a little bit about what it was like this past summer being quiet. Is it in the summer, in the winter rather, does everyone kind of seem to hibernate a little bit? Is it a little bit of kind of a time to rest and relax, or are there kind of a lot of things going on behind the scenes in the winter over in Seward? And I mean, Jason, you mentioned that there's so much skiing and skating and winter hiking. There's so much to do in the winter. Do you think people discover that more this past year because they had more time to spend locally and had to kind of figure out what to do?
I think this summer was a really good one. And I think a lot of it depends on what kind of season we have. You know, like if it freezes hard and early, then the skating gets really good. And then everyone's going everywhere and skating. And then when we have, like, this year was a beyond epic snow year, so much so that we're kind of happy to see it go at this point. But you know, with a lot of skiing and fat biking and backcountry skiing and snowshoeing and all that kind of stuff. And so it's been, I think just there's different like subcultures within our little town of people that do hibernate a little bit. And there's ones where you keep running into the same, you know, 25 people at different places, whether you're, you know, whatever you're out doing. And I think too, like, I know that, I would say, yes, Stephanie is involved in a lot of things. She's actually one of my board members. And, but it's also, I think, a great time for collaboration. We meet about different ideas that we have and try and, you know, slowly pursue all the other stuff when you're not as busy, you know, as you would be in the summer.
Yeah, and this was a really special winter. You know, the chamber really stepped up and made sure there was a lot of people making connections. And we had fireworks on New Year's, which is the first time in many years that we've done that. And I think the community has really said that that's something they want to continue.
Yeah, I mean, the idea of continuation and you know, Jason, you mentioned before kind of finding things in this pandemic that we want to continue after, finding things that we like that we can kind of take anew. Or do you feel that this pandemic has changed the way people think about travel and tourism, at least in the way that it impacts Seward and other communities like it? Do you think, for example, cruise tourism is going to be really different now? Or do you think people are going to be thinking about, you know, traveling to a place that's more wide open spaces like Alaska than other places? How do you guys think, you know, the tourism industry will shape out after all this? I know we don't have a crystal ball, but I'm curious what you think. How about you, Jason?
I think, well, from both sides of it, I think the pandemic is really good because we, as human beings, get comfortable doing one thing and really well and kind of depending on that one thing. And then when that gets disrupted, it forces you to look at all these other opportunities that were there the whole time, but to really like drive into them and capitalize on that and make them happen. And then on the other side too, is I think that, you know, we saw people in the wintertime when we've never seen them before that like showing up to our visitor center. And so I think that people are willing to travel to Alaska, and it's not just local travel, but it is people from out of town, the lower 48. And so I think it's on both ends, we get to capitalize on these opportunities that have been there to make it kind of a richer, wider, broader season. And then on the other end, from kind of those visitors, you know, they can, they're willing to travel to Alaska in the wintertime, and they might not have been.
Christy, do you have any thoughts on that, on how kind of we might be seeing any shifts in tourism going forward?
You know, I think it's great that Alaska is a domestic destination, but also very exotic. Like, I think Alaska is on pretty much everyone's bucket list, but there's not the international restrictions on the rest of the world that might even continue for a while now. And I think that the cruise industry still sees this as a really strong growth sector, so they're anxious to get back to. So, I think we're in a very good position moving forward. And, you know, we've learned a lot of lessons. And like Jason says, we've, you know, discovered new things or revisited old things that, you know, we can dust off and makes more sense to put into place.
Yeah, just going back to kind of the cruise situation, you'd mentioned that 2022 is looking really good. Are people already booking this far out for 2022? Like, people are kind of skipping over 2021 and planning all the way ahead? Is that kind of what's happening there?
Well, the cruise companies have been booking cruises even in 2021. And they were, you know, very generous with folks, you know, letting people book early and then, you know, just kind of transferring those cruises to 2022. So all those are open online and people are going ahead and booking. And honestly, the rates are very good because they want people to get back. And, at some level, I know that it was an industry heavy hit early on. But, you know, that industry has really taken a lot of hard lessons. And, you know, next year it might be the safest way to travel. They're going to have their crew all vaccinated. You know, they've really been taking lessons from the CDC on how to stop the spread of COVID. And honestly, whatever the next virus is going to be. So I think it's going to be an industry that's going to rebound, you know, if not rebound in a year, but just rebound quickly and just grow stronger from it.
Hmm. Stephanie, obviously we're in kind of end of April. When does your season start to ramp up, and when are you starting to expect some of your visitors, and what do your preparations look like right now? Are you feeling like summer's getting really close?
Yeah. we actually start our first tours on Saturday, so we're in the middle of startup chaos. And Jason mentioned the epic snowfall we had this winter. Well, that made preparations a little more complicated, digging out vans and trailers and things like that. We start limited tours on Saturday, and then we go to more or less a full schedule the third week of May. And early season bookings are looking really strong. And if I had, you know, we have to train our new staff. And so that takes up the bulk of our time in May. And so I don't really have the resources in my staff to add tours, but I easily could if I did. So I'm feeling good, feeling a little stressed. It'll all come together. It always works out. And if it doesn't, you just put on the best face you can and don't let them know that it's not working out perfectly.
How many staff do you bring on for the summer and where do they sort of come from?
All over the U.S. We have staff members coming from Georgia, from California, from Texas, just kind of all over the place. I'm originally from Wisconsin and somehow we always end up slightly Midwest heavy, but I'm a fan of the work ethic, so that helps. Our first staff member that I mentioned, we had four stay over the winter. I have my first new staff member showing up at the end of the week, but I have 13 kayak guides, two driver guides, and then two office staff members, and then a maintenance person.
Wow. When they get here, is there a lot of training or do they come kind of prepared? It sounds like, you know, once they arrive, things are going to be kind of boom, boom, boom for the rest of the summer, starting Saturday.
Yeah. Specialized guiding services. It's very training intensive. And so the first 2 weeks will be 8 hours a day training every day. And then we'll break out into more of our shadowing mentoring program. But it is interesting for any seasonal business, to be honest. You're trying to train your staff to be the best they can be in a relatively short amount of time for just 4 months. That's a big expensive challenge. But you know, we pride ourselves on our training program and it's a lot in a short amount of time. But we try to kick out guides that we'd be proud to have out in other companies. Great. It's coming too fast.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, what kind of do preparations look like in these last couple of days? Is it a lot of kind of, you know, dusting off the kayaks and getting what do those preparations actually kind of look like?
That's exactly it, is getting everything out, cleaning it up and putting it where it belongs. A lot of things, have to go into storage for the winter. So it's unpacking and getting it back out and inventorying and making sure we have all the equipment we need. And then for some reason, I decided we needed to build a cabin at the beginning of the season. So we're trying to squeeze that in too before the rest of the staff gets here so they'll have a place to sleep.
Oh, nice. That sounds like a fun project.
Oh, yeah. It's not just 15 guides in total. It's 15 guides in total living on my property next to my house.
I hope you're ready, because that sounds like it's going to be a lot when they all get here.
I'm with Christy. That's my extended family. It's fun for me. That's Plus, great. I can go home.
Right, exactly. Well, we're coming up on time shortly. Just a couple other things I want to ask. Christy, we haven't really talked about the kind of railroad schedule itself. And I know you work on the kind of the port side of things, but I imagine you have a good sense of kind of what the railroad situation is like, is going to be like this summer. Are there any sort of adjustments to the schedule or destinations or any big changes in that regard?
Well, I will say, they've made some adjustments to the schedule up north, but the Coastal Classic is really strong for the railroad. So they'll be running their normal day, bringing folks down from Anchorage, go to the Sea Life Center, go on their kayaking trip, go on the day cruises, and then, heading back up to Anchorage at night. So, they're really looking that was the highest growth leg of the railroad in 2019, and I really see that continuing to be strong. And it's a nice option for folks. They might get to Alaska and they can't rent a car, so they can, Uber in Anchorage and get on the train and, go wherever they want. And, Seward's a nice close destination for that.
Absolutely. And is that, is the railroad making kind of all the usual stops up north of Anchorage as well, or has that schedule been amended at all, adjusted?
They have their Denali turn and then their Fairbanks turn. And, I don't really pay attention that much at that end, but there's been some adjustment to that schedule. So it's nice that we have the coastal that we can just rely on every day. So, and that'll start the 29th of May.
Gotcha. So I guess kind of the last thing I would ask each of you is what are you kind of looking forward to about this summer? How are you feeling going into kind of the month of May soon approaching, which is nuts to think about? Where are we and how are we feeling about the way that things are shaping up? Kirstie, maybe we can start with you.
I'm really optimistic and enthusiastic. We've had some nice warm weather lately, and we've had full weekends. Like, our campgrounds have been full. Our Parks and Rec have had, you know, a kite festival. We see that our harbor is bustling. So I think it's going to be a really good summer for Seward, and just gives everyone an opportunity to enjoy the outdoors and be a safe destination to visit.
So the campgrounds are already bustling. People are already hanging out there. Wow.
Yeah, I think they were saying it was either this weekend or the weekend before. We had, we've been having just record number of people in the harbor, in the parking, in the campgrounds. You know, people are ready to get out, and, you know, Seward's nice and close to Anchorage. We bring people to the Kenai Peninsula. They don't only stop in Anchorage, but then they go around the corner or vice versa. So we feel a lot of synergy with folks on the other side. And, you know, I think having Tim Dillon at Cape Head, you know, just really helps us keep in touch with the other communities also.
Great. Jason, what about you? How are you handling things? And are you feeling good about, you know, where a lot of businesses are? Are they ready for this summer? And what are you thinking?
Yeah, no, I kind of concur with everything that Kirstie said, but just talking with everyone, like, bookings are really high, whether it's like fishing charters or excursions. And so that's really good. I know that Airbnbs are filling up, hotels are starting to fill up now on the tail end of that. And so I think there's just a lot of optimism around that. And so I'm really looking forward to having a great summer just for our businesses. And so that way, when we go into the fall and some of them kind of shut down, they can rest a little bit on that end and not worry about, like, is my business going to make it through this winter or that type of thing. And so, but yeah, I know it's been really good. I am thankful too that this difficulty has really brought Seward was already like a tight knit community, but I think this has really kind of made us a lot stronger, and we work together really well and problem solve. And so I'm glad to see it go, but we're taking some good things with us.
Well, and you had also mentioned, we talked before a little bit about kind of relief funds that have been helpful. Do you think that kind of state and federal relief and relief from the city too have been a big factor as to why businesses have been able to do okay? Do you think that the way that ended up working out was good for people? Do you think there was anything in terms of those relief funds that could have been done better?
I do think at a federal level, yes. I think that when it came down to the state and municipal, those were handled really well. Like, our Alaska banks were so good. Local Alaska banks, not the big chain banks, but the local Alaska ones, really helped businesses well across the board. And so they got those money to them. And they, you know, just our, like, our bank manager here just really took care of our local businesses. And so that was really good. And then the municipalities, the way that they handled things, not just here, but again, like, I would say that Tim Dillon was really influential in helping create a lot of, like, thinking outside the box on how we can get business, how they can get businesses money, and do it quickly in ways that are really meaningful. And so, yeah, those were huge.
And Stephanie, I know you're preparing for the season that is rapidly approaching. How is your morale right now? And what are you looking forward to about this summer? Any bright spots in particular?
I like to tell people that I'm terrified for completely the opposite reason as this time last year. So that means I'm extremely optimistic about the summer. I think it's going to be a great summer, and that we're going to be quite busy. And so, you know, I'm feeling good that the community is going to do well and be able to make up a little bit for last year. And as both Jason and Kirstie have mentioned along the way, I think that the experience, while it was tough with the pandemic, has really helped the business community understand why working together is a benefit. And I think that was you know, happening before, but not just not quite as strong as it is now. And so I think the community's really come together to support each other. And that's I'm a fan of that. I'm a huge fan. Both these people will tell you that they already know that about me. And so I'm really proud to see the way the community's helped support each other. So, and I think the summer's going to be potentially a launch pad, to be honest, for Seward.
And that's about all the time we have, so we'll wrap it up here. Our guests today were Christy Terry, Mayor of Seward and the Seward Port Manager for the Alaska Railroad, Jason Bickling, Executive Director for Seward's Chamber of Commerce, and Stephanie Mullane, who owns Sunny Cove Kayaking in Seward. A big thanks to all of those guests for being here today. This is Kenai Conversation, and you're tuned in to KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai Soldana.